Good morning, everybody, and welcome to CDL Drivers Church of Delivery. This is Pastor Bob. What a glorious Sunday morning, Labor Day weekend. We are celebrating that, and I found out today that President Trump has declared today the National Day of Prayer. What an awesome president we do have that has declared the prayer day again, brought it back to us. I am so happy about that. That is fantastic. So without further ado, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you that your son died, that you sent your son to die on the cross, that we may have eternal life if we believe in him. So we give you the praise and the glory for that this morning, Father. We thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. We take some things too simple, Father, and we don't understand that sometimes we forget to give you the praise and the glory. But today we give you the praise and we give you the glory for all that you do, Father. Father, I ask that you bless each and every person today that's here. Bless them abundantly. We plead the blood of Jesus over them, whether they're drivers or not. But we plead it over their business, their families, their work, whatever the case may be, Father, as a dome of protection, that nothing spiritual, nothing physical, nothing mental, and no principalities can come against them. And we say it in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that your anointing flow through me this morning as I bring forth your word. Let it not fall on deaf ears, but those that are willing to surrender their will, that they may be in your perfect will. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just a little bit about tithes and offerings, folks. Don't forget, don't rob God. It is our obligation for tithes and offerings. God has commanded it. So make sure that you do your best for tithes and offerings. You all know how to do it. There's a link on the website, or you can do a comm data check. And I won't spend any more time on that. God had laid that scripture on my heart last week that Tim had preached, and it's still on my heart for this week. And last week, we really went into depth about what the wealth was for. And this week, I want to tell you how to get that wealth, how to acquire that wealth. There's some very simple instructions to it that you can prosper, that you can give to God's kingdom and with the wealth that God will provide for you. But I want to explain to you how you can get that wealth. I think it's very important. So let's read our text this morning, Deuteronomy in chapter 8, starting at verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Okay, so let's talk about this real quick. Let's talk about what this says. And it says, and you shall remember the Lord your God. That's number one we have to do all the time. That we should think of God as the first commandment, as the first commandment says, to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. God should be on our mouth constantly throughout the day, should be the first thing in the morning, should be the last thing at night that we talk about, that we say, and we talk to God. And he says to pray without ceasing. That means talk to God all day long. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes here, 30 minutes. It can be a minute here, 2 minutes there. When you have time, talk to him. Let him know that you're there. Let him know that you want to talk, that you want this relationship with him. That's number one, is to communicate with God, and we'll get into that in a little bit. The second part of it is, he says, it is he who gives you power to get wealth. How does he give us the power? Well, I'm going to show you how he gives us the power to get that wealth. And we know what the wealth is supposed to be used for. Yeah, we can personally use stuff for it, but that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of the wealth is to bless the kingdom of God. And as Damon and I were talking earlier, if we go back into the Word of God and we look at David's son, Solomon, look at what he prayed for. He did not pray for wealth. He did not pray for fame and fortune. He prayed for something very simple. wisdom. He wanted to be able to do God's work and be a blessing to God. So he prayed for wisdom. And because he prayed for wisdom, God gave him the wealth. God gave him the fortune and fame because he wasn't seeking it. That's the key. That's one of the keys right there. Don't seek it. Seek God. And then God will bless you. Ask for wisdom. Ask, what can you do for his kingdom? How can we bless God? How can we bless his kingdom? Well, in the last few days, I've seen people blessing people. And it goes back to what Jesus said, the two greatest commandments. Number one, love God. So we focus on God before anything. And the second one is to treat others and love others as you wanted to be loved. Well, it seems to me that every time we have a great disaster, that finally comes to pass. But it shouldn't be just in disasters. It should be all the time. When you see a brother in need, you should give to him. You should help him. Meet that need. That's blessing God's kingdom. That's a good way to receive the wealth that God. That's how we get the power to do it, is by trusting in God to give us that wealth that we may help those that are in need. There's many people that have went down to Texas. I was sharing with Damon yesterday. On my way out of Texas, there was rows and rows and rows of campers with crosses on them for the Red Cross, coming down, showing the volunteers with boats and trailers going into Houston, people that were volunteering to help one another in a time of desperation. But see, that's the point. It shouldn't have to happen just during the national disasters. It should be an everyday occurrence. We should be looking for that to help God's children. Whether they're sinners or they're saved, it doesn't matter. We are all God's children. That's what we got to get in our hearts. That's where we get the power, is by loving and having a heart like God has. God loves everybody. So should we love everybody? Absolutely. Does it matter who they are? No, it does not matter. We are to reach out as we want to be reached out to. It is better to give than to receive. Remember that. It is better to give than to receive. There's a couple of other things that you have to realize, too. Here's one. In Proverbs, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. So it shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be difficult. But yet we make it difficult because we struggle trying to reach that goal. Well, if we give it to God and we turn it over to God, there's no sorrow. There's no struggle in it because God's got our back. Realize that God has our back. And there's an old saying, what you sow is what you reap. And here's what it says in Psalms about that. It tells us about this. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who sow financially reap financially. Those that sow by helping others get help in return. See, these are the powers that give you the ability to get that wealth, and that wealth is what we use to bless God's kingdom. Whether it's your ability to build homes, whether it's your ability to drive trucks, whether it's your ability to pump gas, it doesn't matter what your ability is. God gives you the power to witness, the power to help others. And if you're helping others, he will make sure that you have the wealth to do that, the means and the tools to do it. That's what it's about. That's what he's talking about in our text, is to glorify his kingdom. And we all know the scriptures about it. We all know how to do it. We know what to do. And in Galatians, it says this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So if he sows of the flesh, will he also reap of corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting. And that goes with anything that we sow. If we're sowing it for the right reason, God will give it back to us tenfold. He shows it in his word. He did it for he did it for so many people in the Bible. If we look at Job, look at how Job suffered. Job, because God used him in a test, but Job suffered. He lost everything. And when he come back, he got everything tenfold back. Because he didn't complain. He didn't mock. He didn't murmur. He didn't do anything. He stayed focused on God. That's the clue that we have to realize. Therefore, we all have opportunity. Let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. So those brothers and sisters that are dying, that are hurting, that are need help, that are in Christ, yes, they should come first. Absolutely, they should come first. But we don't turn away from anybody that's in need. Look at the story of the Good Samaritan. If you go back and read in history, they were virtual enemies. They were enemies. But yet, this Good Samaritan picked this man up that had been beaten and thugged and in hurt, and he took care of him. Because of the kindness in his heart, because he loved God, because he loved people. And he thought about it too as God's word. You do unto others what you want done unto you. Does that make sense this morning? It says this in Romans. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saint, given to hospitality. See, even Timothy here, that's something Timothy did. That's something John preached. That's something Paul preached, was to help one another. And if we don't seek the wealth for the wrong reasons, and we seek it to help God, that's the key. Damon said it right this morning. He don't seek wealth anymore. He seeks blessing the kingdom of God. And when we do that, we cannot go wrong, because God's word declares it. As I've always said, what is the word of God? It's basic instruction before leaving earth. If we can't get along and we can't obey here, how are we going to live eternity with one another? And how are we going to serve God if we can't serve him for a blink of an eye here on earth? In Luke, it says this, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. See, it's better to give than to receive. But the more you give, the more God's going to give back to you in his time. Because it's a blessing to him. So he wants to bless you if we're doing it for the right reasons. That's the key. It's, we got to look at our hearts, and we've got to realize what we're doing it for. And not, don't do it for the wrong reasons. It says this in Matthew, chapter 7, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Does that make sense? If we seek the kingdom of God first, just as Solomon did, he wanted to seek God first. He wanted to take care of God's people. He put those two commandments ahead of everything. And I've preached on this before. Those two commandments cover all the Ten Commandments. They're the two most important commandments of the Bible. They tell us how to treat one another and who to love, God and others, as we love ourselves and as Christ loved the church. He loved the church so much that he gave his life for it. And last but not least, I want you to put this in your minds today and get it in your heart. God says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. See, there's the key right there. We cannot stop seeking. We cannot stop asking, and we cannot stop knocking. But here's the key. I want you to get this. It's ask not with your lips. It's ask with your heart to God in prayer. In prayer, asking God. You're going to his presence and asking him it with your heart, not with your lips, not with that, not with the our mortal bodies. We're talking to him through our heart and through our spirit. That's where people get the wrong impression of how to ask God. Ask him with your heart. Put it in your heart and grasp that. That's what you want to do. God, it's my heart to do this for people. It's my heart to do this, Lord. I ask you with my heart, Lord. And he says, to seek and you will find. We don't seek with our eyes. We don't seek with our eyes. We don't look for our eyes. We look with our spirit and with our heart as well. We look for God. We look for the answers through God, through the Word of God. That's what he's talking about seeking. Seek his Word. Seek his will. Seek his guidance. Seek his direction. Because the more we seek his direction and the more he sees it, he sees our true heart. He sees what we really want. He sees that we're trying to make that effort to do what God has called us to do. Remember, we're all ministers of reconciliation to bring the lost back to him. That's our purpose here on earth, to be able to bless him by blessing saints and getting more and more souls into heaven. And last, we don't knock with our hand. We don't knock with our hand. We're knocking with our heart and our soul and our spirit. It's not the fleshly things that we do. It's what we do with our heart through the Spirit of God and through the soul. Our soul has to seek God just as our spirit does, because we are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. The body is the flesh that will die off, but the soul and the spirit will live for eternity. When we focus on God and we seek God and we trust in him, and God will bless you abundantly. That's how you get wealth. It's by studying his word, by seeking his wisdom, by looking for its wisdom, not by sight, but by the spirit and by your heart. Let your heart and your spirit be your guide. Don't ask for something as selfishness. Don't brag about something selflessly. Just do it and don't expect any pat on the shoulder. That's not what it's about. It's about pleasing God. That's number one. God is all we have to please. Yeah, we please one another. Yes, I'm not disagreeing with that. But God has to be the first one that we have to please. And that's the one that we should think about on a constant basis, is pleasing God. And when we do what God has says, he will give you the wealth to bless his kingdom by seeking him first and his kingdom. Then all things will be added to you. It's that simple. I know this was a little shorter message, but this is what God had laid on my heart, and I'm so thankful. God always knows that there's a purpose and a reason. So I thank you all today. Have a blessed day. I get to spend some time with my family and at one of my home churches, and I'm looking forward to it today of getting fed myself. So you all have a blessed and a wonderful day. God bless you all. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your blessings, Father. I thank you for the congregation that you have bestowed upon me, Father. I am entrusted with them as their shepherd, Father. I thank you for this. Guide me and direct me, Father, as I surrender my will to you, that I may be in your perfect will, Father. Don't spare your word of correction, your rod of correction on me, Father. If I do something wrong, please bring it to my light, Father. Bring it to my attention, Father, and let me repent of it. I give you the praise and the glory that you so deserve, Father, and I trust in your word, and I trust in you, Father, because I seek your kingdom first before anything else, Father, and I give you the praise and the glory today. In Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Go in the name of the Lord, everybody, and have a blessed and wonderful day. And seek God's kingdom first, and all things will be added to you. Amen. Amen. Have a
amen.
Blessed day, everybody. God bless you.
Thanks.
Love you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.